Camille's got a background blurred. What are you hiding?
It's making me suspicious.
I did it the other day when we were on, I was on Zoom for a writing workshop, and I just thought, I saw the head writer had done it, and I was like, that's a good idea. You can't see all the crap in the background. You don't know if I've got my knickers hanging up. And I just did it the other day for that, and I've not changed it, and I think I quite like it.
For me, it makes me more suspicious, because I'm thinking, what are you hiding?
Yeah, but I don't. Oh, yeah, but I don't mind that air of mystery, rather than you actually knowing, it's
your knickers.
It's pants.
It's this, it's that, yeah.
It normally is your knickers.
Yeah.
It's James's weird underwear. Because your
Yeah, sometimes it's cutting out your hair and your earphones. It's counting that as background.
Kath,
sometimes.
It's because your hair's too greasy baby messy. It's like, no, that can't be.
No, they can't see that.
She can't want that on display.
It's voluminous at the moment, we said.
It is voluminous.
That's our position.
Joke.
That's our current position.
Our current position is voluminous.
Voluminous. Thank you very much.
Someone commented on Instagram.
Well, that my hair when looks I put good.
Up a, yeah, when I put up a picture.
Thank you.
They said hair.
they said voluminous with a.
Oh yes, I saw that.
Lovely.
Thank you very much. Yep. Appreciate it. Appreciate the love.
Any update on it starting to fall out yet?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I keep seeing strands in Rocky's hand, and I think it's because he's pulling it out rather than it falling
he's
out.
He's pulling it out, yeah.
I think he maybe ate one because there was one in his nappy the other day. ate one and pulled it out.
It's gone straight through.
I've pulled one out of a baby's bum hole before.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I just kept pulling and it was like, oh, it's in the bum hole. I think sometimes it can get down the nappy and then the bum hole just eats it.
Sucks
it
up.
Do you know what I mean? Just sort of sucks it up.
Well, it does do. It does do when you're in the shower, even as an adult sometimes in the bum crack, it's like, oh, got a little hairball.
It eats it up. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I wolfed down my dinner tonight and it's not sitting well.
Oh, I've not had mine yet, so... Wasn't welcome news when we needed to push back the podcast.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. Understand.
I should have done that.
Two tantrums to deal with.
I had your friend and mine packet of French fries. We were talking about them only the weekend. Wow.
Stop. Absolutely I need delicious. To get some. Been years.
Salt and vinegar. I'm having this. Delicious.
She's having a beer.
Beats having a Moretti.
I'm having a beer.
So yeah, I can tell it was
I'm
a
very
stressful
tired.
Bedtime.
Yeah.
You're tired. Well, beer should help with that. Famously, waking up drink.
Yeah, get ready for a great pod.
I've told you before, the only one that's a wake-up drink is a tequila gimlet.
Sorry.
Have you told us that before?
I don't think you have told us that before.
It's a tequila gimlet.
If you'd have just stopped at tequila, I mean, I would have still challenged it, but I wouldn't have thought that was mad. What on earth are you talking about? A tequila gimlet is the only wake-up drink. Where have you heard this? I know what a gimlet is. It's with gin, though. Gin and lime.
Hang on, let me Google it. We did a gig in Brighton.
Yeah.
And I went to the bar before. Everyone was having a drink and I didn't want to get all sleepy. And so I was like, what can I have that's, you know, won't make me sleepy? And the bar lady said to me, the only... thing I can give you is a tequila gimlet. That's the only drink that's an upper.
Okay, so this is on the authority of a random bartender in Brighton, because that's not
true.
Yeah,
the only drink I can give you is a really expensive drink called a tequila gimlet.
I think she gave it for free. I think we were gigging and it was just like, have a drink. It's tequila. It's lime cordial.
It makes you happy.
And it's sugar, basically.
Sure.
James has been having them of an evening.
Has he? A tequila gimlet?
But with not tequila, just gin and lime cordial.
Well, that's the classic gin gimlet. It always is. Yeah. So is he shaking that with a cocktail shaker?
No, he's just mixing a bit of gin and lime cordial.
Any ice or just, because that's the that's
bit
bleak.
Of cheeky ice, bit of cheeky yeah. ice, yeah.
Bit of cheeky ice.
It's tasty.
I mean, I'd argue that e.g. nice. Something like a vodka and Coke is going to wake you up more. It's got caffeine in it.
You know I don't drink vodka.
Rum and Coke.
Yeah, that's true. She does get fighty.
Rum and Coke, yes. That would have also been my go-to drink, but obviously not at the moment. No caffeine.
No caffeine.
God, I'm crossing things off the list, aren't I?
What you can't have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Eventually it'll just be nuts and seeds.
Nuts and seeds. Nuts and
one seed.
One grain of seed. Shall I kick the pod off?
Please.
Yeah. Can I just say, okay, no, kick the pod off.
No, fucking hell. Go on then. What?
No, kick. Yeah,
Let's kick it.
Kick it off.
Right. Thank you. Right, you've just ruined the intro by saying kick it off. Right. Da, 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 da.
I forgot all the others.
I lost my way. Like when I try and sing happy birthday, a few notes went wrong. It suddenly doesn't sound like what you're trying to sing. This is the theme that Rose very kindly offered up to me and said she thought I'd be good at hosting it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Then I got a slagging. Oh, why aren't you doing it yourself?
No, thank you. I've chosen some mad games, I think, but...
Yeah, well, that was going to be... Okay, that was what I wanted to say.
Game number one you gave to me.
Right, okay. Yeah, okay, so what I'm about to say is going to sound very egotistical. I thought game number one, she smashed it. This is great.
That's good, the one you told me to do. Yeah, that's the one you
said. That I came up with.
Game two and
game
three.
Game number two and three, by the way, Patreon subscribers, there's three because I don't even understand. I have out of protest not prepared...
Okay.
Game two and three, because I don't understand what you have to explain yourself and you have to do it first.
I think it's very self-explanatory.
I can't believe that I've prepared something and Rose hasn't.
And I can't believe that she thinks it's not clear. Like, you can read, Rose. I've written very clear instructions. Patreon subscribers, you'll get to hear what the games are. If you aren't a Patreon subscriber and you want to hear what those games are, then you just got to go to patreon.com/birthdaygirlshouseparty.
Oh, also, over the past few pods, we've forgotten to remind people about our live pod.
Oh, shit.
Oh, God.
Cheer for Learful Festival, November the 5th. Remember the 5th of November.
We're doing a live podcast.
In Balham. Come along. It's going to be great fun.
It really is. Can't wait. Did you watch soaps when you were a kid? Do you watch them now? I associate them with being a kid because I used to watch them in the evenings.
They were absolutely demonised in my house. Wasn't allowed to watch them. Yeah, so I didn't come to them until quite late.
Because your family thought it was just a very low form of art?
Yes.
Well, wow.
Never forget, didn't have a TV till I was 9.
Of course.
Never forget that.
Very true. But
arguably, 8-year-old, probably too early for a soap anyway.
Oh, but no.
No.
I was on the soaps from toddler years, I think.
Yeah.
But then, so I used to watch them when I went to my friends' houses, started on Neighbours, whenever I went to my friends' houses after school.
Oh, I loved Neighbours so much.
Yeah, I was hard into Neighbours then.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I think when I sort of got a bit of teenage autonomy... I managed to battle for the right to watch EastEnders.
We all had like little Australian accents from watching it. It'd be like, no.
No.
Just say no. Because we watched these Neighbours every single day. We watched Neighbours.
I used to love going to my friend Gemma Crane's house at primary school. I don't know how we got there or if her parents just didn't care, but like obviously my parents, no soaps, no junk food, used to go to Gemma Crane's house after school and have 2 bits of white sliced toast with butter and golden syrup and watch EastEnders.
Dream.
Rose. Well, when your friends came to your house, would they be like, what the hell?
I feel like, yeah, it was probably just my mum would just not let us. And that, you know, you have to just play by the rules of your friends' houses, don't you?
You do,
yeah.
You know, when you'd go to your friends' houses and they'd just do weird things at dinner time and you're like...
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah.
Like, I remember having to have... Went to this one friend's house and they gave a spoonful of cod liver oil, not in capsule form, like the actual stuff.
Oh,
before dinner?
At breakfast. When you'd have a sleepover. And it honestly was the most revolting thing I've ever... Can you imagine having that first thing in the morning? What? Fish oil.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. And you had to have it too?
Yeah.
Healthy kids?
No, one of them was very... He was very naughty and, for example, would do stuff like setting off the fire alarm and...
Sure, okay.
This is primary
that kind
school.
Of attention
and then
seeking,
denying
yeah.
that it was him. Uh-huh. And actually weird stuff about food. To be honest, I don't think she was feeding them enough because there was a spate of lunchbox thefts where people's food from their lunchboxes was going missing, like the junk food. And it turned out it was him nicking people's wagon wheels because
living off
all
cod
he was
liver
getting
oil.
Was fucking cod liver oil and muesli.
Oh, poor kid.
Yeah. Bit of a sad story in the end.
Yeah, it was a bit of a sad story.
Yeah, and then I remember at Christmas Day, often having big rows about whether I was allowed to watch, put on the EastEnders Christmas special.
We went through a phase of having it on Christmas Day, and I think it does make you a bit depressed.
Yeah.
See, we have it on every single Christmas, yeah. EastEnders is one of my mum's absolute... I mean, she goes through phases with it. Like, sometimes she'll, drop out of watching it and, you know, but then she'll pick it back
up
again.
But still, she still gets on the wagon and watches.
And so she's... Oh, yeah. Would you say she's sort of got her finger in the pulse, on the pulse of, what's happening on the square?
Yeah. 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 I mean, sometimes she'll be like, oh, God, I haven't watched it for ages. I don't even know who that person is. But now her friend is in it as well. So she's like...
Mm-hmm. I've seen Harriet Thorpe.
Harriet Thorpe. Absolutely smashing it up.
I saw her on the screen the other day.
Landlady.
She's a fantastic choice.
She is great. Really incredible choice.
So do you guys... So Camille, you were on them from the breast.
On them from pretty young. Corrie and EastEnders. Mm. Not really Brookside.
No.
Dipped in and out of Emmerdale.
I'd say just EastEnders for me and Neighbours. Those are the two I don't really...
No, I did dip into Corrie in the Tricky Dicky years.
Corrie's funny. Sure. You go to Corrie for comedy. You go to EastEnders for hardcore
drama. Yeah,
was he
called Tricky Dicky, the serial killer, Camille?
Tricky Dicky, yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
He was killing people, bopping people on the heads with magazine racks left, right and centre. It was fantastic.
It is
an amazing genre. They have to keep going and going and go. And think about when we do a writing job and say for one of the kids' TV shows we do, and we have to pitch ideas, and you have to make sure you don't pitch something that's already happened before with something that's been going that long.
Oh, they must have it. They must
recycle.
They
must have repeats, but you have to... I think you would have to have a pretty good knowledge of the canon.
I reckon they'll have a time limit. Yeah. It'll be once you've had a serial killer, you've got 10 years, then you can have another
years.
One.
Then we've got an affair. Exactly. Then we've got... Yeah.
Well, I think an affair, that's sort of monthly.
Yeah,
that's true. You want a next month.
Yeah,
that's true.
But when it's good, when it's really good, it's those amazing moments become part of our culture. It's just ingrained in us. It's you're not my mother. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Barry being pushed off a cliff by Janine.
Oh,
never
God.
Forget Barry being pushed off a cliff by Janine.
And I even remember Saskia and Martin Kemp, the ashtray.
The ashtray. That was incredible.
Right?
She bopped then? She bopped him on the head.
With an ashtray. Killed him.
In the, was it in the club in office
the club.
Or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Little Mo with the iron.
Little Mo.
He was so
incredible.
Good, that guy that played Trevor.
Both of them were. Terrifying. Yeah.
Pure evil.
Do you remember Sonia's surprise pregnancy?
Yes, of course I do.
Sonia's surprise
She gave birth
pregnancy.
On the toilet.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
She was pregnant and didn't realise and gave birth in the toilet.
God, now we're talking about it, guys. I think I need to get back into watching EastEnders.
Who was the dad? Was it Martin Fowler or was it Jamie?
Yeah. No, it was Martin Fowler. Jamie was then her boyfriend a bit later.
I loved Jamie so much.
I fancied Jamie so much. Didn't he die? And I was gutted.
He did die, yeah. I think
he married Kim Marsh in real life, didn't he?
Did he?
Have I made that up?
Okay.
From hearsay.
Have I made that up? I think so.
Interesting.
Hang on a minute. Hang on
a minute.
Recently
of Strictly.
Jamie from EastEnders. Forgotten his real name. Jack Ryder, isn't it?
Yes. Well done, Camille.
Jack Ryder.
There was a time, did you have this? Before, because obviously we were watching soaps before smart TVs, so you had to watch the credits. There was a time when I knew the name of every single actor.
Yeah.
They were together. Kim Marsh, Jack Ryder.
Crikey. Yeah, now you're saying that, Camille. It's ringing a bell.
Yeah, they divorced in 2008.
I'm looking and it's saying Jack Ryder, unrecognisable. And he's completely recognisable. There's like so many articles being like, you won't believe what Jack Ryder looks like now. And he looks the
exactly the same.
Those articles are insane though, aren't they? Because it's like,
He's just aging.
He's just got older.
Yeah, of course. He doesn't look 19 anymore.
I'd be more surprised if he looked exactly the same.
Yeah, really surprised.
That's a news article. Jack Ryder looks exactly the same as he did 25
years ago. What's going on here?
What the fuck?
Jack Ryder defies science.
See, I'm jealous of you that you had families that didn't look down on soap operas. I'd have loved that.
But I mean, try watching any other kind of TV with my parents and it's an absolute fucking nightmare. Don't watch anything that you like with my parents because they will tear it to shreds.
They will say they hate it.
Do you remember? I'm not going to say what the programme was because someone will probably fucking turn it into a news story on the Daily Mail. But do you remember when we were in your mum's house a few years ago and we all got hammered and we were watching a show and she took against it so hard that she submitted a formal complaint to the BBC about it. And it was incoherent what she was writing.
We were quite drunk.
We were hammered. Do e.g. Casualty and Holby City count as soaps or no?
Oh,
I say yes. Why would they not?
Well,
they're narrative and they're ongoing.
That's true. Like Casualty was a big hit.
Heavily into them. Heavily.
Yeah, big time. Hang on, one of them is finishing after years. Which one's ending? Holby City?
Isn't it Holby? Or is it
Holby?
Casualty?
Holby finishing.
Your dad was in it, wasn't he?
My dad was in Holby, yeah.
Of course.
I think it really coalesced.
He was in EastEnders.
He was in EastEnders? I don't remember
Was he?
He was in EastEnders, yeah.
As
he died.
What?
He was a sort of temporary character who came in and befriended one of the other characters. I didn't watch it.
Oh dear.
On the topic of a separate
My mum
show.
Also was not keen on him doing EastEnders because she was like, it will ruin it for me. Because I know
you.
Oh
yeah, that's fair.
Her friend's in it now.
Oh yeah, true.
That's different from
that's
what
a bit more separation.
Yeah. On the note of him in things, thoroughly recommend Rain Dogs. BC, you can't watch it because your dad is doing stuff that you don't want to see. But it is
so good.
Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say, Camille, talking of being in EastEnders.
What?
You've been
you
in EastEnders,
were in
mate.
EastEnders.
I was in EastEnders. Forgot about that. Talking of which, let's talk about a completely different show.
Oh dear.
Yep. Do you remember? I remember I got a part and then COVID happened.
Yeah.
And then the part got cancelled and I was like, that's it. That's it. Gone.
You were gutted
and then
about that.
I was so gutted.
Awful.
And then did a different part. I mean,
yeah.
Couple of scenes, bish bash bosh.
Were you in a scene with Danny Dyer?
I was not. I was in a scene with what's her name, Maisie. She did Strictly.
Mm-hmm. Yes, mm-hmm. Very good.
And the one that plays her brother, and
Maisie Smith.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
It was fun. It's the most like having a normal job. Like everyone that works there goes there every day. You know what I mean? Mm. It's like school.
Yeah.
Like normally as an actor, you dip in and out, but there it's like they all know each other. They're literally going in every day. Like, and it's like a 9 to 5.
As I've told you, Daniel says EastEnders is his dream job.
Oh. I think now it's maybe my dream job. Never used to be.
Yeah,
he's like, someone comes and picks you up. You go in, you know everyone. You bang out 20 pages of script in a day. You leave.
Yeah.
They get through a lot.
Ideal, really.
Like, were you getting many takes or was it like, and we're moving on?
No, it was quite surprising. Yeah, maybe two.
Mm.
Quick vibes.
Really quick. They've got it
down. But they did not pick me up. Had to get them myself.
What?
Yeah.
I think Danny Dyer's getting picked up.
Oh, God, yeah. But when you're just like a day player, no, not picking you up.
No.
Okay, yeah, that's not great.
You're travelling to work, yeah. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
No.
Travelling to work.
we've become massively spoiled.
Let's play a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first game.
And can I just say, once again, what a fantastic game this is, Camille.
Really, yeah, out of the games, this is the best game.
Thank you. Came out with it myself, actually. Pitch a new soap opera.
You could have done a bit of work on the name. That's the
on
only
the
thing.
Title. I thought that I was running it around. And I just thought, you know what? She's just handed this to me on a plate, Camille. Why work any harder?
Take it. Just gobble it up.
Just take it. Well, I wrote for you guys. I wrote a little intro. Roll over, EastEnders. See you later, Corrie. Bye-bye, Brookside. Yeah. There's a new soap opera in town, but there's only one prime slot. Which one of us will bag it?
Do you know what? When I started reading that paragraph, I was like, this is not going to have any pertinent information for me. So I didn't. I read the first line and then I skipped it.
BT, it could have done, though. And that's your life in a nutshell. Missing the details because you're assuming they're not there.
Yeah, true.
I thought... You missed a trick on not saying roll the credits, EastEnders.
Roll the credits. Very good, Rose.
She's always got her editor's brain on.
Adding unnecessary details where they're absolutely just... Why? Someone's already done the work that I've already done for them and now I'm doing more work.
Oh, God. Okay, I am actually not that confident in this. I think you're going to think... Well,
okay, I am so confident in mine that genuinely when I came up with it, I was like, I don't want to say this on the podcast in case somebody steals it because genuinely I think this is an amazing idea.
Okay. Should we save yours for last then?
I'll go first.
Maybe I should go first because I'm confident. Because now I'm worried that I've built
both
it up
of ours
to...
are going to pale in comparison to yours.
That's no, the worry, they're not. Isn't it? I feel embarrassed that I said that now.
Well, no, you've said it. You've made your bed. You'll be going last. BT, do you really want to go first?
I do.
Okay, go on.
So, my soap opera is called Animal Business. Where's it set? In the woods.
Okay.
Is the Animals of Farthing Wood?
I think Animals of Farthing Wood meets Hollyoake Lakes.
Okay, Animals fucking.
It's Animals fucking. No, it's a sort of lewd, sexy animal drama. And, you know, there's squirrels shagging around. There's some badgers who run the pub. But they're sort of, it's the badgers are sort of like the family of the village, like the Mitchells, you know. They're going around beating people up. There's, you know, underhand shit going on with the badgers.
Shit going on, yeah.
Exactly. You know, there's the imminent threat of foxes always.
At the moment, it is just sounding a lot like Animals of Farthing Wood.
No, but it's but they're sort of anthropomorphized, so that
I ask a production question?
Yeah.
Are they real animals that you're dubbing human voices on, or are they puppets, or are they humans dressed as animals?
I'm thinking, well, my first thought was humans dressed as animals, But then I sort of started thinking animatronic.
Like robots.
Robots.
Yeah, robots.
Unbelievable. She's written an AI sitcom. Soap opera, sorry.
But my big juicy storyline is it's to do with the mole family. So the mole is unhappy in his marriage. He's going through some shit. And he starts flashing people. He starts flashing other woodland creatures and, like, he shows his little, mole willy to the goose and she goes and tells.
So the animal's normally wearing clothes?
Yeah, they're wearing clothes, yeah.
Okay.
But all this drama goes down, like the police get involved to the magpies and he goes to jail for a little bit, but he's out again. And then the big Christmas finale is Mole is found. Guts strewn everywhere. He's been eaten alive. Turns out Mother Mole has been chatted up by a fox who's like, I could sort out your problem for you if you want. I can sort out your problem.
So it's...
Daddy Mole.
Okay. So it's basically... Oh,
sorry, you just said Daddy Mole. What does...
Daddy Mole. That is guts.
You just said Daddy Mole, like, that's...
Daddy Mole.
And there you go. What are you talking about?
It's EastEnders, but animals.
Yeah.
And...
animatronic animals
wearing
clothes. I think
absolutely mad making the magpies the police. Surely they're the thieves.
Black and white.
No.
Cops and rubbers.
Mm. No, they steal stuff.
Oh, I was thinking.
I see where you're coming from.
In old fashioned sketches, aren't burglars in black and white?
All right, the geese are the police.
Yeah. Yeah, the geese police. Come on. Yeah. Am I going mad? Don't magpies steal things?
They do, they're still shiny
things. Yeah, they like shiny things.
Camille, what do you do whenever you see a magpie?
Good morning, Mr. Magpie. How's your wife and family?
Every single time she sees one.
James's mum does a weird thing where she has to like spit or something as well at the end of it. Like
hop three times and spit.
Something like that, yeah.
I used to do that when I walked over three drains.
It's quite liberating when you actually then just start walking over three drains, isn't it? Because I used to avoid them
like
the plague.
Yeah. Do you know what I heard on a podcast about superstitions? This lady was saying that superstition came from like the 70s when there was just a story about a little boy who'd fallen down one of those drains. And now everyone was like, oh, three drains is bad luck.
Really?
And it's like, it's the 70s. It's not even a...
Because there's more chance of falling down when there's more drains.
I guess so.
I still avoid them slightly.
Yeah. You don't want to fall down one, do you?
And I slightly avoid walking under a ladder.
Yeah, I do.
I mean, that's just practical.
That's common sense, yeah. I think it's bad luck for a reason.
I don't like walking under anything. I don't like walking under scaffolding or anything. Because you do see those odd stories where it's like, oh yeah, someone was just killed by like a bit of like rock or something that someone dropped off one of those things. And you think, what an embarrassing death.
Mm-hmm. Really embarrassing. Anyway.
Put that in the show, Beata. Something happens with some scaffolding in the woods.
Yeah. It's the Badger Brothers have put up some dodgy scaffolding. And it falls on falls on a little squirrel.
My worry with that is you are missing the sort of human engagement element. You're missing... You said animatronics. I think people watch soap operas because they want to mirror their own lives. They want to see. Do you know what I mean? Mm. How are you going to?
Well, isn't it also like escapism for a little bit escapism? Because it's like people can go, well, my life's shit, but I mean, at least my husband's not flashing people and.
And I suppose there's an argument that. By making it animatronic animals, you know.
I'm not exploiting animals.
You're not exploiting animals, number one, very important. But number two, you know, people are able to sort of get distance and see how ridiculous some of these issues are.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
True. That's exactly why.
And be like, look what these bloody badgers are up to. Aren't they stupid? And then being like, oh my God,
I'm the badger. Just be badger.
I'm the badger. Just be badger.
What's that called when you're making a comment on society? An allegory?
It's an allegory.
Yeah. Was there a term for it in like restoration drama? I remember, when they held a mirror up to, what was it called?
Mm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Holding a mirror up to society.
Yeah.
Just a note to our listeners. We've all got degrees in drama. None of us can remember a fucking thing.
Mate, I've got a 2-2 in drama.
Mm. It's a wonder you got that, to be honest.
I know. Incredible. All fell apart, really. Just didn't do any work.
Okay, BT. BT. BT, stop spiralling. This is starting to turn into a soap opera. All fell apart, really.
I can't find it. I've just had a look. Oh,
are you okay?
When you said that, you looked directly down your tits, like you were trying to find the answer in there.
I meant I Googled it, but I was also repositioning my boobs.
Oh, sure.
Okay, Camille, do you think you can beat, what was it called? Animal Crossing. No.
No, Animal Business.
Animal Business.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to give it a bloody good go. My soap opera is called Underground Overground.
Hello?
What?
Wombles.
In the woods?
Well, wait for it.
You know this show called Sopropra. Sopropra.
Yeah, it's not the Wombles. It's called Underground Overground.
Yeah, but aren't the Wombles
Can we go back to you saying sop opera?
What do I say?
Sop opera.
Oh, God.
Sop opera.
It's a new soap opera about a street in a suburb of London where the residents realise there's a load of borrowers living under their floorboards.
So it's the borrowers. You've pitched me Animals for Farthing Wood and you've pitched me the borrowers.
But wait.
You've literally used the name, the borrowers.
Yes, but wait.
But wait. And you've nicked the catchphrase from the Wombles.
The borrowers and the humans, well, the bigger humans, decide they're going to coexist. But guess what? Doesn't come without its trials and tribulations. Overground. Who have we got? What kind of characters have we got in the show? Overground, we've got Cyril, the train driver, who is also a psychic medium. We've got the Dawkins family, who start a neighbourhood watch and also have swingers parties. And the Ridge family, who all work in the GP surgery as doctors, apart from the daughter, who sets up a Mexican street food takeaway from one of the rooms in the GP surgery.
This is the maddest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Now, who have we got underground? What borrowers have we got? Let's meet Mandy. Mandy used to be a clown in a travelling circus, but now she lives underneath the GP surgery with Babs, who was a trapeze artist. Under the Dawkins house lives the priest, Mr. Borrowman.
Just two borrowers under the...
Mr. Borrowman and his wife, Madame Coustouge, who he met in France. And in the first episode, Cyril the train driver mistakes Timmy, the smallest borrower of them all.
Tiny Tim from A Christmas Carol.
For a mouse in the train station and nearly kills him. Now, first big storyline.
Sorry, those weren't storylines.
Yeah, they were actually. But this is the big storyline. The big storyline is all about one of the Dawkins swingers parties. Someone did a poo on the floor in the bathroom and nobody is owning up to it, okay? We know that the person who did the poo had some of the GP daughter's Mexican street food because there is a lot of guacamole on the floor,
okay?
Pooey guac.
Camille.
Now, the storyline. What?
This is also stolen.
Yeah.
This from is what?
The There's literally the a podcast. Podcast called Who Shat on the Floor at My Wedding.
What? I don't know that podcast.
Of course you don't, Camille.
I'd love that podcast.
Yeah, you should listen to it. You would love it.
That's funny.
Have you told me about it before? It's like subconsciously.
Probably. Yeah, subconsciously it's in there.
It's good though. It's a successful podcast.
Who Shat on the Floor at My Wedding? I've never listened to that.
If you haven't listened to it, give it a go. It's two...
Well, is it Who Shat on the Floor at My Wedding?
Yeah, so it's the couple...
They've hired an investigator.
But no, she's not. They've made one of their friends an investigator. It's like a comedy podcast. They're genuinely trying to solve the mystery, but also it's just very funny because their friend has like taken on the role of investigator and is having a lot of fun with it.
It's really good.
But anyway, so sorry, Camille. There's a lot of guacamole in it.
Yeah, that's my main storyline, but... Anyway, the big humans end up blaming the borrowers who take it upon themselves to find out the truth behind the poo.
Oh.
But when they find out who did the poo, not only do they realise who did it, they find out that the priest has been having an affair with Mrs. Dawkins, who reveals she is Mrs. Castugi's long-lost sister.
Crikey.
But she's a big person.
Yeah.
How's that? Yeah.
How's that working? Well, tune in and you'll find out. Underground, overground, late.
So it is.
So there we go.
It is the borrowers, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You've borrowed the borrowers.
You literally used the word borrowers within the first 5 seconds.
Yeah, I think. I sort of see the borrowers as like...
As open... It's just as
like, are you using the word borrowers just as a kind of interchangeable word for like tiny people that live under the floor?
But I mean, you can't do tiny people living under the floor that aren't borrowers. That is the borrowers.
That is the borrowers. I'm pretty sure you're going to face some fairly hefty copyright issues with this one.
And if not, litigation.
I think about the borrowers quite regularly.
Clearly.
Yeah.
I do.
It's fantastic. Right.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think the mechanics of it, like Beattie said, like a lot of your ideas, when you try to drill down into the practicalities.
Mm. Yeah. What? Issues. More than animatronic animals?
That's been done before.
Well, they exist.
Yeah. I feel
yes.
You know, just need a little woodland set.
The thing is, no, I was going to say I could just take the borrowers out and then the whole show. But yeah, it's just.
Yeah, but then it's just a street and it's just Brookside. No,
I'll stand by it. Come on, Rose, let's have the masterpiece.
It's not a masterpiece, but I do just genuinely think this would be a good soap opera. Okay. The show is called Going West. It's a brand new soap opera set in rural Devon, where idyllic setting meets farmer drama. Set in the fictional village of Yarstock, which on the surface seems like a sleepy countryside village, you know, all country fates, churches, and stopping for cows to cross the road. However... Step inside the always left unlocked door of any house in Yarstock and drama awaits.
Ooh.
Secrets, affairs, swindling and swinging. It's all going on down west.
Yes.
Ooh.
Every episode will leave the viewer hungry to know the answers to questions such as, why did the vet's wife smash a hot casserole dish straight from the oven over his head?
True story.
What's the head of the parish council doing with the unlicensed shotgun in his car? And who's leaving live crabs in people's recycling boxes? As Camille has identified, all things that have actually happened in my village.
Yeah, really good.
Okay, so your main characters. Also, if anyone... I've changed the names, but this is very heavily based on my village. main characters. Okay, so at the heart of the show is a big farming family called the Luscombes. Salt of the earth types. They farmed the local area for generations. And family secrets lie buried, sometimes literally, everywhere they go.
Oh.
So the whole, they're headed up by a matriarch, Pauline Luscombe, whose 9 children have spawned a dynasty that has connections to every household in the village. Careful who you talk to about the Luscombes, because chances are they'll be related to one.
Mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely the case in my village. They're not called the Luscombes. Okay, then at the other end of the social ladder, you've got Henrietta Blandford and her husband Hugo. Okay, landed gentry. They live in the big house overlooking the village, and they're sure. on every village committee going, parish council, WI, jumble sale committee. Their influence stretches far and wide, but rumours of illegal fox hunting are only the tip of the iceberg for what criminal misdeeds this pair are actually up to.
Yes.
Then in between, you've got a revolving cast of weird and wonderful village characters, the like of which could only exist in a West Country-based soap. You've got Spike, the ancient farmer who looks like he's just stepped out of the 19th century and can only really communicate with cows. Okay. There's Boggo, a mysterious man who lives in the woods in a shepherd's hut, brews his own cider and may or may not be magic. Mm-hmm. And there's Dorota, the Polish washer-upper in the pub, whose reasons for coming to the village are more explosive than... Okay, what's happened there is I haven't finished that sentence.
More explosive than.
I was going to try and think of a funny thing like, you know, someone's homemade fireworks, and then I just didn't. Mm. They're explosive
more
anyway.
More explosive than Rose's farts.
Yeah, thank you, Camille. First big juicy storyline involves the village pub. So this is like the first episode, is the village pub reopening after being closed for many years, with a shock reveal of a new character, like, in the village. She's a new arrival in the village. She's going to be the landlady. It's none other than Big Jane, who is Pauline Luscombe's arch nemesis. It's a rivalry that stretches back years to when the two former primary school best friends fell out over a man. The man who Pauline is now married to, but who we discover is still sleeping with Big Jane and is the father of her 2 grown-up identical twin sons, Harry and Barry. Okay.
Really?
That's
good.
That's the end. Not funny,
really,
but when I really got into this. Yeah. I was like, I want to watch this. I want to write it.
Oh man, that's
how'd you
good.
Get a soap commissioned?
Yeah, Rose, it sounds really good. I think the thing is, you can't. It has to be a series. Actually, I don't know. Like, are there ever any new soaps? Not really. Like, when's...
Yeah, but I feel like they die a death, don't they?
Yeah.
They try and do them and then they die a death.
Do they try and do them?
Yeah.
I can't think of a modern soap.
Yeah, I can't.
Because that's because they all died a death.
Yeah. Oh, you have to write it as a 6-parter, Rose, as a series.
I just think I want long, slow burning. I want all, you know what I mean?
Sure,
I want to be sowing seeds.
They have commissioned something a bit longer, 10 ep.
She's not in for 10 eps. She wants it to be...
You need to picture it's a continuing series.
Yeah.
I'm going to bloody write it. I'm going to write a one page. Just see what our agent can do with it.
Why not?
Any questions?
Let's do it.
I mean, no. Should we just agree that Rose is the one that's going to get made?
Yeah. I think that, yeah, I'm going to vote for Rose, right?
I'm going to vote for Rose.
I can't vote
for
myself.
I'll vote for myself as well.
Yeah.
It's time for Legends and Dicks, guys.
Fantastic.
Can't wait.
Have we got any Patreon legends first?
Oh yeah, we've got shitloads actually. Shall I go through the Patreons?
Yes, please. Yeah. Absolutely delighted to hear those shitloads. Thanks so much for signing up if you have done. We really appreciate
it.
Right. Big shout out for Becky George. Legend. Tamlin Higgins. Legend.
Lovely name, legend.
Abby. Tamlin. Just Abby.
Legend. Abby, legend. Keeping it classy.
Ellie Stocks.
Legend.
Solid. Solid name. Hannah Jane. Two first names. Legend.
Hello. Legend. Thank you, Hannah Jane.
Neve McGowan. Legend.
Oh, what a legend.
Neve McGowan. She should be a famous.
She should be. She should be in a folk band. She's got a...
Oh, sorry. I thought that was the next name.
No.
I thought it was should be in a folk band.
Should be in a folk band. Legend.
Right, Helen Oliver. Legend.
Oh,
Helen, you're a legend.
Andrea Bradley. Legend.
Legend.
Huge legend.
Alan names. Osborne. Legend.
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 And Tom Wiley. Legend.
Legend. I mean,
legend.
They are all top class names.
Alan Osborne.
Bangers.
Was that my drama teacher at school?
Alan Osborne.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Alan Osborne signed up to Patreon to hear if you're bitching about him.
I mean, it is his name, yes. There is, but there's probably more than one Alan
Osborne.
Listen,
Alan,
if you are
Camille's erstwhile drama teacher, please can you message us on Patreon with some stories about her? And if you're not, if you're just a different Alan Osborne, send us an anecdote anyway, whatever you like.
Whatever you like.
Make one up.
If it is you, hello, Mr. Osborne.
Got a comment from Deneen Rowe, who says, I think, oh, this is from the BonCon. Oh, should I read out a spoiler for BonCon? Yeah, go on. It might entice you into the BonCon. But this is from the activism podcast we did.
Yeah.
The bonus content on that. Mm. Someone said, I think that Camille's accident is more brave than any form of activism that I could partake in.
Thank you, Deneen Rowe.
That's not a spoiler, that's tantalising.
Tantalising. Yeah, sign tantalizing. Up to Patreon to find out. And Leanne Weber, very sweet message from Leanne, said, cannot tell you how happy I am that the podcast is back. I've been listening for the past 3 years and currently re-listening to all the episodes for the third time, including the episodes with the BBC. Yes, Leanne.
Okay.
I just wish I could be your friend and hang out with you.
You are!
I'm no comedian, but I do make cakes and can knit a mean jumper. And I said, we are always in need of jumpers, Leanne.
And cakes.
And cakes. But yeah, if you could work on biscuits, just if you could get Leanne. On the biscuit recipes, that would be more up my street.
That's a lovely message.
But
I'd like to see a picture of these jumpers you're knitting, if possible.
Oh, yeah, please post. Can you post a picture on Patreon? Probably.
Surely.
If not, send us one. Insta.
Yeah.
Email.
There are many.
If you want.
Routes.
If you want.
My legend this week, I think, is just the house that Camille booked that we all stayed in over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good house.
Agreed.
Swimming pool. Really hot tub.
Sickhead.
Comfy beds. It was really sickhead.
Really comfy bed. More comfy than my own bed.
Me too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, as you might have known from the pod, I don't know if we've talked about this, we're all undergoing sagas with the Emma mattresses we've purchased, which we would highly not recommend. They've all dipped in the middle and we've all got terrible back problems because of it. So if you're listening from Emma Mattress, thanks a bloody lot. Here's some anti-promo. Give me my £600 back.
Yeah. My dick of the week is me. It's the state that my living quarters in my parents' house is in. I can't.
Oh, no.
It's just, there's just stuff everywhere, and I just don't like. Sometimes, like, I never find cleaning or tidying up fun or enjoyable. I guess, like, no one does. But like,
no, Dan does. He genuinely likes it.
I hate it. I hate it so much. But it's just reached such a level now that I'm like, I just sit on my bed and I like wish that I could just click my fingers and it would all go away.
BT, you've gone it's gone back to your room, the room again, the
it's
bedroom.
Gone back to
oh
my God,
what
do you
is surrounding
my
you? Is it just clothes?
It's a lot of clothes, but it's also bags of clothes that the kids have grown out of that I haven't sorted out. And it's just stuff that's just piling up because we don't have enough.
The bags of clothes, you need to break that down into manageable chunks. You need to take it bag by bag. And then every day, once you've sorted a bag, when you're out and about, drop one off at the charity shop.
Mm.
I saw something that said, you can't do the whole task, but can you do 5 minutes? Can you set a timer for 5 minutes and just do 5 minutes and see if you can manage it?
I just don't think 5 minutes would even scratch the surface.
No, but they all add up. But you might find you can do five more tomorrow, another five.
Yeah,
okay. Exactly.
Just in case you don't know what we're referring to, listeners, when we say the bedroom, BT notoriously in her bachelorette days, her bedroom was so disgusting that we weren't even allowed in there. She kept the door closed. We weren't even allowed to see it.
It was bad. It was really bad.
She was upset if we opened the door.
You couldn't really get in without... You had to like push the door open to get... Like,
yeah.
You could have breathed
and in the
in
nicest
there.
Possible way, it did have a smell.
It really did. Yeah, I mean, there's just dirty clothes everywhere.
I can remember the smell now.
Yeah, and the thing that really wigged me out was the dirty clothes just on your bed. You had like a weird, just a nest.
And I would just like shimmy into like a small space.
Yeah, you
would. Oh, BT. You're not a dick. It's difficult. It's difficult.
Yeah. I bet your mum and dad hate that it's messy. Do you let them up there?
I have to try and stop them from coming up because my mum just gets like, you can just see it in her eyes. She's just looking.
How is this happening?
Yeah.
Thank you, BT. Rose, legend and dick?
Well, similar to BT, my legend is the people that we went on the weekend away with. A great group. It was us three, husbands, babies. We had Brett Goldstein, Lou Sanders, Luke McQueen, Annie McGrath. And I tell you what, gorgeous group.
Top group.
Everyone was on form. Lots of games were played. Some people were very competitive. I am included in that. But
the games.
Epic game of water polo that I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
That was the injuries. First exercise I've done since having the baby.
Yeah. You were fantastic, Camille. You were moving around that court like nobody else.
Oh, I was having a good go. And I was often marked by your husband, Dan, who's
twice your height.
My height.
Yeah.
Really hard. He just had to lift one arm and he'd get the ball off me.
My dick of the week is... It is. I agree with BT that the house was amazing, but it is the house or the provisions.
Yeah.
In particular, toilet it was a beautiful house, done out so nicely. Slight problem with the toilet situation in that there were, four ensuite toilets, but no communal toilet. So for the other bedroom, they just had to go through people's bedrooms at night to use the toilet, which is insane.
Yeah,
a bit odd.
Not even that, though. The thing that irked me the most, no sponge or cloth left to wash up with. Only
Brillo pads.
A Brillo pad. And not even like, it was one of those ones that smells of metal. Not those, you know, not like a scouring pad, like a metallic Brillo pad.
Like iron wool. And it just disintegrated. Yes.
It disintegrated. It made everything stink of iron. It disgusted me every time I had to do the washing up. And I just think, what are you mad? Leave a sponge.
Yeah, leave a sponge.
And also, all their stuff's going to get scratched.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But anyway, other than that, beautiful. Camille.
Yeah, agree. Legend, similar to you guys, legend of the week is just good. Actually, do you know what? My legends of the week will be Mabel and Elsie on the weekend. Because they were really, really cute with Roscoe, playing with him, cuddling him.
They were very cute.
And really sweet. They were great, great kids, great gals.
Yeah.
Really fun.
I was actually pretty impressed with Mabel. Elsie threw herself around a bit, but...
She's a brute.
The tantrum level was pretty, you know, low.
Yeah, they were great. So they're my legends of the weekend. And my dick of the week is my management company for my flats, because we have recently, collectively as a building, sent them a letter complaining about stuff because they're not great and they charge us so much money for stuff.
Yeah.
Since that letter's been sent, they haven't done this ever since I've lived here, which has been at least 3 years. I think 3 years now. Mm-hmm. No.
Something like that.
Yeah. Since sending that letter, they emailed me saying it's not permitted in my contract to have anything outside of my front door. So like outside my front door is the communal hallway, but I've got like a bit in front of my front door that no one goes in. It's like a separate little hallway bit.
Uh-huh.
I've got some shoes there, the baby's pram. They've sent a list of all the things I've got out there and I'm not allowed to have it in the communal hallway.
Bunch of absolute cunts.
As per my contract.
That they've gone, and right, because you're complaining about us, we're going to complain about you.
Yeah, we're now going to do an inspection. And one of the things they've mentioned is like this, they know that weird dog statue thing.
Yeah, you have got a weird dog statue there, to be fair.
Not mine. That was there before I moved in. It was there when I looked around. So that's how I know they've not done the inspection the whole time since before I lived here, because that was just there when I moved in.
Yeah.
So they've just decided to do it now. The bastards.
I mean, mention that. So like, yeah, I'll get rid of it. But, you know, I moved in 3 years ago and this statue has been here since before I moved in.
Yeah. How so many times how you went to do an inspection of your building?
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
And have they responded to any of the things you've complained about in the letter?
No, they haven't yet. Not really.
That And that's ridiculous that that's their response. Right. We'll see how we can piss them off.
Properly.
Yeah.
Awful.
Absolute cunts.
I didn't reply. James just replied saying, wow, you guys are the best.
James!
Yes, James.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
I'm sorry, Camille. I think, yeah, same story in my flats. They'll send round a letter being like, you need to move your, you know, kids' scooters or babies' buggies from, like, they'll say it's for fire escape reasons, but it's like a fucking massive space in the hallway where no one ever is going to walk.
Yeah.
It's like no one's ever going to gather there or walk there. It's not in the way of the door. It's like tucked behind the stairs. And it's like, I'm so sorry for existing and like daring to need space to raise a family in these flats which do not have space to raise a family in.
Snakes. There's they sent me another picture of a bike that's downstairs that isn't ours, and whoever, I don't know whose it is, but they've put it under the stairs. It's not in the way of, it's like tucked against the wall.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Like you can't leave your bike here safe. Mad. Anyway, enough moaning. That's my little soap opera going on. In
well, keep us updated. Actually interested to hear, how that pans out.
Response to James' email, please.
We'll keep you updated. All that's left to say is dun, 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 dun.
You'll have to wait for next time
to find out if we're doing the podcast again, which we are.
We are. Thank you very much for listening. Hope that you are having a lovely week, not one that could be in a soap opera. If you are having a bit of a dramatic week, let us know. Send us a message. Tell us about it. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Rose. Thank you, Beatty.
Thank you, Camille.
Thank you to Andrew Malevsky for our wonderful podcast music. Thank you to Lucy Moore for our brilliant podcast artwork. And thank you to Emma Corsham, our incredible podcast producer. And thank you to you for listening. We shall speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.